This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. He calls himself a hockey rock star, and he has earned the right to do exactly that. Whether it was his 15 seasons as an NHL enforcer, to the 4 Stanley Cups he won with the Red Wings, to the legendary fight night at the Joe when he took down Claude Lemieux of the Avalanche, and of course his rock band Grindr. Darren McCarty has played hard and lived hard, coping with family issues and addiction and bankruptcy, even as he skated to NHL stardom wearing that number 25. He tells his story in an autobiography called My Last Fight, The True Story of a Hockey Rock Star, written with the help of writer Kevin Allen. And just like Darren on the ice, his book pulls no punches. Darren McCarty, welcome.
Thanks, Cynthia. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on. Darren, you have been the subject of God only knows how many news stories over your years on the ice and afterwards. Did you just get sick of everyone else telling your story?
Well, that's the whole thing in writing this book, My Last Fight. It's my truth. You know, I had to get my truth out. And, you know, I got a little bit tired of hearing, you know, there's, like you said, there's so many things that I've gone through in my life, from my addictions to my alcoholism to divorce to bankruptcy, gambling. I mean, you name it, I've gone through it. And I pretty much just wanted to get something out there that was in my own words.
And the first thing I got to tell you that my husband said, and then I said, we both gobbled up your book and both said, he is lucky to be alive. And it seems you agree, and you actually declare that your life is like a Quentin Tarantino movie?
Yeah, pretty much. And you know what? I tell everybody this, that only the love of a good woman can pretty much save your life. And that's what my wife did for me. She practically came into my life at a time where I was pretty much spiraling out of control, and she pretty much resurrected me and you know, kept me alive and sort of got me through some tough times. And, you know, this is, you know, my tribute, or sort of a lot of it is to her and the hard work that she put in to me and believing in me and stuck by me for the last 4.5 years.
You know, there is got to be that sense of looking from the very beginning and seeing where you've come and seeing what that journey is. And in fact, I've got to wonder, Darren, do you, talking about the beginning of the journey, do you remember the first time you ever put on skates and picked up a hockey stick, or is it just so much a part of your life you don't even remember that first time?
You know, I think that, you know, it was like any other Canadian kid. It's probably 3 or 4 years old. My earliest memory is I remember with my grandfather and my uncles. They had a pond in the backyard, and I remember being like 4 or 5 years old because of seeing pictures or being out there. But, you know, it's sort of second nature, whether it was that or, you know, playing with road hockey sticks, playing with, I remember we used to play with a pop can because we couldn't find a tennis ball. So, I mean, it's whatever works. Anything that you could knock around was fine with us.
And as you say, it's a rite of passage for most every Canadian kid, but there had to be a point when something told you to start pointing yourself toward an NHL career. When was that?
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, ever since, I've always been pretty much pretty stubborn and headstrong. And I remember even in my sixth grade, you had to, what do you want to be when you grow up, or, you know, stuff like that. And I was always a hockey player. And, you know, I always got crap for it from, you know, teachers or whatever. Well, you know, that's a great ambition. But, you know, I mean, and, you know, rightfully so, because, you know, 1 in 10,000 make it. So they're my teachers, and everyone was always like, well, okay, that's great. You shoot for the stars, but what are you going to do if that doesn't work out? And you know what? I never just, it's the way I am. I just don't take no for an answer. I strongly believe that you can do anything you want. It's just what you're willing to sacrifice. And luckily, God gave me some talent and some skill, and I was able to work my way up to doing what I wanted to do since I was a little kid.
Well, and moving toward that NHL career, you write about this. You had to pack up and move nearly 300 miles away from home to play in Junior B while you were in high school. So no mom and no stepdad, Craig, there to keep tabs on you. Too much too soon?
You know, in hindsight, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But that it's just the way it is. It's the, you know, sort of the passage. And, yeah, that's when you're 16 years old and your parents aren't there, you know, you have a billet or your coach or whatever like this that keeps, you know, tabs on you. But I mean, you pretty much got free rein. It's like moving. It's like I know how tough it is for parents when their kids go off to college.
Yeah.
But you got to think this is 3 years earlier than that. So I don't think it was socially developed enough, but, you know, figured it out real quick.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. We got that. And was it your coach in Junior B that kind of steered you toward becoming the enforcer and really fighting?
Well, he was the one that sort of gave me the ground rules of moving up the level, because with my size and I was a physical guy, I had to be able to handle myself, and he had to do one thing better than 99% of the rest of the guys. So what he always said is start with your fists and then work on your skill. And so, you know what, my fists got me room and got me respect at every level, from junior to the minors to pros. And then I was able to work on, obviously, the rest of my game. And, you know, I mean, I could still put the puck in the net at, you know, different times and, you know, score some key goals. So
you sure did. I mean,
even in junior, I was, you know, I led my last year in the OHL, I led the league in goals. So I won the player of the year. So, I mean, I had the skill set, but it was the pugilist in me that got me there quicker.
If you've just joined us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, speaking with Detroit Red Wing legend Darren McCarty. His new book, My Last Fight, The True Story of a Hockey Rockstar. So you're drafted by the Red Wings in 1992. You spent a year in Adirondack, and by 1993, you're on the ice in Detroit. And I wonder, Darren, what was it about the Red Wings that kept you there? You had 11 seasons and then brought you back from Calgary, Flint, and Grand Rapids for a couple more seasons, because you were clearly a very restless guy. And that's a lot of stability. Why was that?
I just think is that, you know, with the teams that we had and the players that we had the formula. And one of the things in my book is, like you said, it's 25% hockey and 75% life. But the one of the things I wanted to get across is that, you know what, in this day and age with teams, brotherhood and families thrown around a little bit loosely, but in the stories that I tell, you want to know why we won so many cups is because we were all as close off the ice as we were on the ice. And I think that just carried over because we had the formula. And you know what? The architect of all that was Scotty Bowman. He sort of let us find our way and grow up together, and just sort of, you know, we had you know, our own climate inside the dressing room that everybody policed everybody else, but every, you know, it was one big family, and that's why we were successful, and that's why we won.
You know, I got a sense from your book that you respected, and dare I say, you liked Scotty Bowman.
I did. Well, I love Scotty Bowman. I mean, the best analogy I can say is he's like Gary Kasparov, the great chess master. He's five moves ahead of you. You know, sometimes you're shaking your head and wondering what the heck is he thinking, and then then it plays out down the way. And it wasn't for you. All you had to do is just, you know, be a cog in the wheel. And you know, his plan usually always played out. And usually at the end of the year, you get your Stanley Cup ring.
There you go. And there's that reward. Darren McCarty, in your book, you take us to the big fight night, the big meeting on the ice with Claude Lemieux, the legendary fight, March 26th in 1997. And every Wings fan knew Lemieux was going to pay for smashing Chris Draper's face the season before. So how did you decide the time was right to go?
Well, I didn't decide that at all. Like, if Lemieux wants to be mad, he should be mad at Peter Forsberg for starting with Larionov. And you know, the whole thing is that, and I talk about it, is that, you know what, the bigger thing to that game was winning, because the year before we set the National Hockey League record with 62 wins and then lost to Colorado in the conference finals.
Yeah.
Played them three times that season and hadn't beat them, so they sort of had our number. So it was sort of, you know, it had to be the right opportunity, which it turned out to be like a Hollywood script the way that it played out. But the fact that the best part is I got 4 minutes for roughing and scored the overtime winner. And, you know, in hindsight, obviously that game helped propel us to go back-to-back Stanley Cups. But it was the greatest game I've ever been a part in.
Yeah, you know, it's an NHL legend for sure. And you write, I was really intrigued, you write about a later meeting on the ice with Lemieux. It was in 2002, 2003. He's with Dallas, and he skates over to you. And what happened between you two?
Well, we were in front of that, and I don't tell anybody what he said because I think it's between him and I. But it was the moment where I was like, you know, I'm like, what do you want? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Well, you want some more? You know, stuff like this. And he said, I was going through, you know, I think I just got done with my, like, third rehab or whatever like that. And he said something that was really, like, really respectful and really, like, humanitarian. And I was just sort of like, oh, thanks. You know, like, sort of caught me off guard. But, you know, we've done a few charity autograph sessions together. And, I mean, I don't condone the way that he played, and as a player, he was a great player, but I didn't like the way he was dirty. But as a man and off the ice and getting to have him, met him and gotten to know him a little bit, you know, I have respect for him as a man. So yeah. He's not the same on the ice as he is off the ice. It's like a lot of guys are.
Darren McCarty, I want to talk a little about today's NHL. As we don't see those big brawls that were such a big part of your years on the ice. In fact, it's ironic that your old roommate Brendan Shanahan is part of that enforcer role for the NHL. How do you think Darren McCarty would fare in today's, I guess we'll say, more peaceful NHL, less fighting?
He'd be playing baseball. Hey, you know what? I was grateful for the NHL that I played in. The game that I grew up watching, but it's not that this isn't my game anymore. You know, I think you see this willing away sort of, you know, the power forward role and guys like that. And I always believe there should be fighting in hockey because it's a great equalizer. But I'm not a big fan of hockey. I mean, I'll be watching the Tigers before it's usually the Red Wings if there's two games on at once. But I still hope the Wings do great. I still go down to, you know, a few games a month and stuff like that and cheer them on. But, I don't – Gary Bettman hockey isn't for me.
After all these years, Darren, who is the teammate on the Red Wings that you respect the most?
Well, there's so many. I mean, Jesus. You know, like one of guy that's always been – and it was great with the alumni game getting back together, but Paul Coffey's always been a great mentor and a great friend to me that's stuck with me through all my stuff, you know. Brendan Shanahan also, and obviously, you know, I mean, those two clowns, Malpe and Draper and Ozzy, I mean, we grew up together. So we all stay in contact. We all stay close. I think that the one guy that has had a huge influence in my life, not only on the Wings or not, is Joey Kosher. Mm. And that's why we call him Papa. So that's his nickname, and he's a father figure to all of us. But those are the guys that I talk to pretty much the most. And, you know, we do a lot of alumni stuff together. And
you know, we see Chelios and Draper and Maltby and Osgood and Fisher and folks that have a place in the Red Wings organization. Is that something you want?
You know, I do stuff with the Red Wings on the marketing and PR aspect of it, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy to represent the Wings and move forward, but I just, you know, I spent my whole life at the rink. You know, I was ready for something else. And I mean, God bless those guys. They love the game and want to continue to, you know, be a part of it and progress their career through it. But to me, there's something more out there. But again, you never know if Paul Woods or Mickey Redman want to hang it up that's something I'd be interested in then.
Yeah, you did do some work with Versus, and so that you could see yourself doing something like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, yeah, I love talking hockey and talking the game and stuff like that. So, and I mean, I love talking all sports. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I've been able to do, whether on TV or on radio and stuff. So who knows? Maybe there's something in the future down the line. I always keep my options open.
Your book titled The Last Fight, you're very clear, refers to this day-to-day struggle you still go through to stay sober, to stay clean. And you kind of alluded to this at the beginning of our conversation, but talk a little more about how writing this book has helped you with that.
Well, you know, how it really broke down to do this was after Proby died, I read his book. I was blown away by the fact how honest he was, and it just clicked to me as that, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it right. And it wasn't until Kevin Allen just got inducted in the Hockey Hall of Fame, hockey writer for USA Today, contacted me, and I've known him 25 years covering, and we're friends. And he said, you know what, I just finished Jeremy Roenick's book. Heard you're thinking about doing it. When you're ready, I want to do it with you. And, you know, really that's when it clicked to me, that, geez, you know what, I think I want to do this. Now, I had to remove myself from this area and move down to Clearwater, Florida, and sit out on the beach and go through this process with him for about a year. But it was the greatest thing that I did, because the one thing about the book is you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll shake your head.
Mm-hmm.
But getting through, you know, obviously telling some of the funny stories and stuff is easy to talk about. But when you got to admit, like, you're a douchebag and you've done some, like, pretty crappy things in your life to different people, and, you know, that's sort of a coming to Jesus moment or whatever. But the more honest I was, the easier it got. And that's, you know, the my writing process would be talking to Kevin for, you know, a couple hours, and then he'd do manuscript and he'd send it to me, and I'd go through it and edit it, and then I'd show it to my wife, and she'd go, that's about 85% honest. How about the other 15%? And I'd be like, at the beginning, I'm like, really? I got to go there? and she's like, it's the only way, baby, it's going to work. So it worked out really well. Just the trueness, the freshness, and the honesty. And really, Cindy, the big thing to me was I had to, when I finally had the finished copy in my hand, I was scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just scared, because it was so, putting myself out there, and this is before anybody read it or, you know, any reviews or anything like that. And you know, my wife just said to me, she said, baby, it doesn't matter, because this is your truth.
Darren, you said one of the reasons, another reason you wrote this book is to let tomorrow's NHL players learn from your life. What do you want young hockey players and their parents to know from what you've gone through?
That your NHL contract or whatever you make isn't a money tree, and it's not going to be there forever. You got to have a good picker as far as the people you surround yourself with. And there's going to be some red lights out there. There's going to be people that come into your life that don't have your best interests at heart. Keep the people that you grew up with or, you know, were there with you before closer than anybody else. And, you know, like if I can prevent one person, one kid, you know, doesn't have to be a hockey player, to not have to go through one, but any of the things that I've gone through in my life, then, you know, then it's a victory.
Darren McCarty, his memoir is entitled My Last Fight, The True Story of a Hockey Rockstar. It has been a pleasure to talk with you, Darren, and I think it's safe to say that everyone wishes you luck as you really forge this new chapter in your life. And I know, as you are very honest, it's a day-to-day struggle, and we all wish you the best.
Well, I appreciate it. It was great talking to you.